CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes, here we are. It is time for a live morning show, which is brought to you all the way from our offices in Rivonia, Johannesburg, with Mbolelo Tinta sitting in the studio right now, along with Simpiwe Mtetwa and Homolemo Modiste. In Johannesburg, in her own house, which is not under threat of collapsing, even if her neighbor's walls are, is Pumelele Mashiko. And from my house, me. Good morning, everybody. Thursday, and the first Thursday of the new year for this show, and the first Thursday for the new burning platform, which we'll bring to you just after 7 o'clock this morning. How are you, Pumi?
Good morning.
Good morning, Pums. How the hell are you? I'm, first of all, happy.
I'm so tempted to say compliments to Bulel.
I know. He hates it. By the way, it's not just him. Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Also, he gets all upset. Someone says Happy New Year to him on the 7th of January in one of the episodes. And I mean, I have no reason to doubt that this isn't from his real life, because he's exactly the same person in the show as he is in real life. I know that because somebody caught some video footage of him about 3 or 4 years ago, like fighting with a parking machine because the thing wouldn't give him his card. And he's like, what are you doing? You know, he's talking to the parking machine. And in real life, he's just as crazy. He's just as nut. Anyway, he goes, someone walks up to him on the 7th of January and she's like, Happy New Year. And he goes, nah. She goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, first of all, you can't say it after the 7th. He's a little less militant than Mbulelo, who says the 2nd, right? You can't say Happy New Year to Mbulelo after the 2nd. And he says, because,
oh, my goodness, when I saw him say that, when I saw you say that, Mbulelo, all I could think about was the first thing I'm going to say to you.
Right, exactly. It puts pressure on people, but it's a good thing. Like, everybody always thinks you have to be super nice in order for people to like you. But people also have this thing. There's this human desire to have people who are ornery and difficult like you. There's more prestige if someone who's a grumpy old fuck likes you. It adds to your prestige. People are like, wow, well, she or he has to have some sort of superpower because that person is grumpy.
How did you do that?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Right. There's this really, really rich person I know. He's like, I mean, one small withdrawal, Switzerland goes third world, right? And he's cranky and he doesn't want to talk anything but business. His whole life is just focused on making money. And if he wants to talk to you, if he actually pulls you aside and starts talking to you, everybody else in the room or everybody else at the party or whatever it is just looks like in awe there. What does that guy have? I'll never forget.
So, like, you know Logan Roy?
From Succession, right? He's like that guy. And if he pulls you over and talks to you, and this happened to me once at like a big party or whatever it was, and people are like, wow, you must be really smart and interesting. And it stuck, hey? It stuck. Like, there are people who are way more successful than me, way more important than me. After they saw that grumpy billionaire talking to me, they think, Jesus, Gareth must have something special going on. And I didn't. He just, for that day, he just chose to talk to me. And it's lost, the impact of that has lasted, outlasted me in every way. But the other thing that Larry says in that clip about, like, Happy New Year, where he goes, eh, he goes, also, doesn't have to be happy. He goes, happy's overrated. Don't worry so much about happy. He's like, everybody has a different setting. Some people's happy is other people's, Don't worry so much. Don't tell me to be happy. Also, it, like, puts pressure on people to then have to have a happy experience. And some people are not very happy.
But you know what I love about the beginning of the year? One of my favorite things about this time of the year is Chinese New Year horoscopes.
Oh, wait a second, because this came up. This is such a good subject for discussion. What year are you, Pumi?
I am the year of the ram.
Oh.
In the earth element. So I am an earth ram.
Oh. So what is yours, Mbulelo? Do you know?
I've never
never looked. You never looked, shockingly. Surprisingly
okay,
to you, I have no clue.
So we can look now.
Pums, look up Bulelo. What's your year in Bulelo?
Year of birth, I'm guessing, is what they say.
Yeah.
Yes.
1986.
Okay, let me look this up for you quickly. I'll do it, Pums. Don't worry. I got it here. Yeah, here we go.
When is your birthday?
April. 29th of April.
So that's fine because it's the January that kind of decides if you're the year before or the year after because, you know, they have a lunar calendar. So
yeah.
It's not always – doesn't start on the 1st of January.
So Mbulelo is an earth tiger.
Mbulelo, this is really cool because this year, 2022, is the year of the tiger.
There it is. What's in money? Is there money on the cards? Are tigers making money this year?
Maybe.
Yes, my year.
What does my year tell you, Pumi, our Chinese horoscope professional? Mine is the fire snake.
So this is the thing that I find so cool about the Chinese New Year, right?
Yeah.
That everybody born in that year, everyone. So it could be like November, April, July, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're all that element and that animal, and all the animals obviously interact differently for each year. So in the year of the ram, for instance, for an earth ram like myself, in the year of the tiger, the different elements that are in your future are very different to the elements that are in the year of a fire snake, for instance.
Jesus, I'm actually kind of frightened about what the fire snake year has for me. But I do, you know, it is fun to hear these things because it's, I mean, might be complete bullshit, but people will talk about it for hours. I got into a conversation with a fairly, like, she's a quite worldly and smart person. And apart from that, she's also intelligent, which would forgive her many things in my book, right? And attractive. She started on this astrology thing. She's like, I'm a Gemini, and what are you? I was like, but it is a good, like, conversation start. And if someone's interested in that, it does kind of give you a clue as to what else they want to talk about. So if you feel like you need to make some small talk, it's an awesome way to start. Because even if you don't believe in it, you can be like, I don't believe in that shit. And then you can have a whole conversation about that.
Yeah, you can always lead them back to sanity, you know, just get them above ground eventually. You just got to go through the sewer. But this tells me why China can get things done.
Why?
Because, you know, in the West, yeah, we waste so much time on crap. Like, I'm a Gemini. I'm a, you know, Leo. They're just like, no, this year. It's the year of
the tiger.
Yeah,
but we're not talking to the rest of you.
They spend way more time on this stuff than we do, actually. Like, it's really important.
Well, I don't know. Everybody wants to tell you their birthday in the West is on the 25th of April. China's basically saying, this year you are this, right. Get back to work.
That's what you mean.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I put up a thing on Instagram yesterday and got quite a lot of attention. You know, I just sometimes do this just to poke the bear a little bit. But
but you're such a fire snake.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? So,
no, it's classic.
I said, if you're older than 12 and you're posting TikTok dance videos, take it from me, your parents are probably ashamed of you.
Oh, my God.
Which, it's true, right?
What?
If you're older than 12, no, come on. If you're older than 12 and you're posting as an adult who has a job, and you're posting TikTok videos, there's got to be a cutoff where where it becomes embarrassing and humiliating to your whole family that as an adult you're dancing to some dumb song on TikTok. You're not a court jester. You're not a fucking dancer. You're a person who's an accountant in the finance department of an insurance company. Stop posting TikTok videos where you're dancing. It doesn't make you interesting. It makes you seem like you are trying desperately for other people to believe you have a personality. And you don't. Otherwise, you wouldn't be dancing on TikTok. Now, I really believe that. The part about me stoking the fire or poking the bear is I can't help saying things like this because it drives me crazy to see adults dancing on TikTok. It's just, it's so unspeakably stupid to me. But man, did it, like, I got some very upset responses from people, you know. And again, like, these are adults. Some of them are in their 30s and 40s, and they're like, well, there's nothing wrong with it if people are having fun. I'm like, no, but, you know, you could also take your penis out in public and wave it around in front of people. You're allowed to do, as an adult, there's some things you're allowed to do or you think you can get away with, but you still shouldn't do. Do you
that
know
that escalated really quickly?
Well,
from dancing on TikTok to waving to like waving your penis, like, come on.
Same. Look at that. Sorry, same to me. To me, in my head, like, there's just certain stuff that it becomes undignified for you to do after a certain age, and 12 is the cutoff for a TikTok dance video. Sorry.
So where do you draw the line? What about plays? Like musicals? Oh, it's a bunch of men and women that are in spandex on stage.
If you are over the age of 25, and you're still doing dancing on a stage and singing for adults, it's just,
what?
Nah, sorry. I mean, you might be a great singer. No, but if you're a great singer and that's how you make a living, fine. If you're a great dancer, that's fine. But if you're in like an amateur musical, do you know what I mean? Like, they're professional.
Is that a thing?
Listen, there are professional people who get paid a lot of money to work on Broadway or in the West End of London or, you know, even
in
Johannesburg.
I want to hear this about the amateur.
There are, promise you, not so many in this country, but there are these clubs where, like, a whole lot of sort of older people who should know better get together and they're like, do songs from, give me a musical. Give me some musicals now.
Cats or whatever.
Cats. Oh, Jesus. You have people dancing around doing that fucking memory from Cats. And they
all alone in the moonlight.
And they're not good. And they don't have... It's not really so much a performance for the audience. It's a chance for them to express themselves. That's how you can draw the line. Like, if an audience are willing to pay money to hear you sing and dance, different story. I understand that. You're a professional. Cool. But if the audience have been drafted in, mostly against their will, to sit and watch a grown person sing and dance in an average way, unless you're raising money for charity, that's like a hostage taking in my book. That's like a...
You know TikTok pays people, right?
I don't. I'm sorry. TikTok and YouTube might pay people to do crazy things, like set their genitals on fire or whatever, and they do. They also, you know, the internet is a wacky place, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but if you do it, just be prepared to be judged. That's all.
So, yeah, look, I mean, the internet is a wacky thing, and obviously this week with the passing of Bob Saget, I'm thinking a lot about the internet, because basically Bob Saget is like the world's first ever, like, YouTube creator. Because every Sunday we just got to watch him, like, show videos of cats.
That's true,
and
actually.
People doing crazy things.
I never thought about it that way. That's exactly right. But I
So that was America's Funniest Videos was completely what, like, YouTube is.
But
it was like
there's something
cats.
There's a difference.
Stuff.
There's a difference between you taking the worst stuff on the internet. I mean, I follow a lot of accounts that take these embarrassing people. And then they show us in a compilation form what dumb stuff people do in the world. That's great. And Bob Saget's embarrassing stuff was being in Full House. So after that, really, he could do anything he wanted. He'd broken the seal on that, you know.
And I've been thinking about the internet and how crazy the internet has made all of us.
Mm.
All of us.
Mm.
You know, whether you're, like, stuck in like, a dead spiral. You know, like, Sia used to be stuck in all those, like, wormholes. We'd start watching a video about something, and it would be, like, 10 hours later.
Oh, yeah.
He's now watching the 100th.
I've told you I'm addicted to those hydraulic press videos, you know, where they squash shit under a hydraulic press. I love that.
Yeah.
so much. They put like sour worms, then they put like a toy doll, then they put a packet of nuts and bolts, then they put all kinds of stuff in that hydraulic press. I cannot get enough of the hydraulic press squashing shit. My favorite stuff.
So that's what like the dancing on TikTok is like for a lot of people.
Yes, but
they're like they're also stuck in that wormhole of just like
Pums. I totally understand. I'm not. If I were a dictator, I wouldn't ban it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not banning it. All I'm saying is you've got to be prepared to be like considered a humiliating person if that's your thing. And some of us, like me and Bulelo, and there are a lot of other people who agree. I mean, Dogozo says, don't discourage hot girls from jiggling their boobs on TikTok. All right. I hear you.
I was actually going to say.
But Hein agrees with
everything me. Everything on the internet starts interesting, but it's funny how it always reverts back to our primal center.
Yes.
It gets, you know, most of the internet now is basically just porn. Like, I mean, I know people say, no, it's cat videos.
No, sure.
Really, well, it just reverts to, how do we reproduce?
There've always been two genres of business, two industries, if you want to call them industries, because they're not really, they don't make anything. They don't make a product that you can, you know, that has longevity or utility necessarily. But they're very popular content engines are gambling and porn. They've always been a surefire way to make money. Like if I had to go back in time and I had all the knowledge that we have of business today, the two best
You'd
ways...
You'd start Pornhub.
I'd start Pornhub and I'd start an online casino. And I would be, and if I were the first Pornhub and I was the first online casino, I would have money. Oh, it would come out of every orifice, literally and figuratively. I would have so much cash just from those two things. I wouldn't have to worry. But the point with all these TikTok videos, and I then put up this quote from Burnham, who he says, all art is dead when the audience becomes the artist. You know, that to me is a very, very profound thing and means a whole lot more when you think about this amazing aspect of the internet and how now suddenly everybody is a content creator. But once the audience becomes the artist, all art is dead.
But if the if the core tenet of art is to be evocative, and because that is all art should do, is it should evoke, whether positively or negatively, TikTok's working. Then it's got you riled up. It's got old Michelle in Sandown riled up. So it's art. I mean it's just the scope of art has to grow. Otherwise,
well,
because that version of art I imagine you're describing is some like a royal family in 1652 telling the dregs in the streets, look at this, they drew me.
No, I mean, look, Rebellious Ruth brings up these videos. I think this some people would consider this, it's revolting, but some people would consider it art. Pimple poppers, you know, those videos where you watch people like with skin problems or with cysts or with boils or, you know, blackheads and the removal of those. Some people would say, well, that is a form of art. And, you know, there are people who are hugely addicted to that stuff. Have you ever heard of trypophobia?
What?
Look this up. Trypophobia. Trypophobia. Trypophobia is a strong fear or a disgust of closely packed holes. So, you know, in nature, for example, like a honeycomb, for example, is a closely packed hole. Now, some people, when they see this stuff, it drives them completely fucking wacky. They have an insane, unbelievable, indescribable, and difficult to comprehend fear of these holes. And I'll give you an example of... Yeah. This is something I discovered over the holidays, actually, because I met somebody who's got this irrational and bizarre fear of this stuff. Listen, it's... I mean, it doesn't do anything for me, but there's some people who are going to be very triggered by the picture I'm about to put up now. And if you are, that's because you suffer from trypophobia. So get ready. And if this makes you go, and like really upsets you, then you know you've got trypophobia. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. That.
Ew.
Okay, so Pumi, you may have a little bit of it, but you didn't give like a massive, like, you know. So you ready? Wow. Let me just do it again in case someone missed it. Because I put it up very briefly. I don't want anyone to have a shitty day all day because of this. All right, you ready? There. Now, it may be fake, that picture, but it's got all these little holes all over someone's hand. And it's same with a honeycomb or those flowers that have lots of holes in the middle of the actual flower. It like some
like bubble wrap.
Yeah, or bubble wrap. Some people can't stand those closely packed little holes, especially when it looks like it's a disease. And it may have something to do with like an infestation and the fact that some people in their genes probably have this deep-seated evolutionary fear of that sort of pattern, because it usually means an infestation. That in the past, if someone presented with something like that in their appearance, they would be diseased. So there are explanations for why people respond to this in that way. And it's not necessarily weird. It's not necessarily just because you have some bizarre phobia. There could be an actual reason for this. So I thought that was interesting. But
sure, that is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that some people would regard a picture like that as being a kind of art as well. So to go back to the question about art and the internet, you know, these days you could anything, you know, these NFTs that are going around that people are paying fortunes for. I'm afraid I don't get it, right? I mean, listen to this. So here's Wynn staring at Pikachu. Yes, that freaks me out. Annette, God, it is awful. It creeps me out completely. I have goosebumps. Cheryl, ew, I just lost last night's supper. You see what I mean? Sibia, ooh, no. Listen to this. Mbalentle says, I dropped my phone.
Oh, no, man.
I'm telling you, this is that is one of the things.
What?
It's one of the things that is really, really frightening to some people. They can't explain why, but when they see a pattern like that, they're screwed. Their whole day is messed up. So sorry if that happened to you, but I had to share this. It's a very look up trypophobia. Okay, it's just trypophobia. Unbelievable. Anyway, these days everyone's phobia something. You know, they use the actual dictionary definition, and you have to be careful about this. If you have a rational fear of something, like, you know, if you are afraid of crocodiles and you live near a river, that's not an irrational fear. You're not a crocodile phobe. You know, you're only a crocodile phobe if you live in a city and there are no crocodiles for miles and you're on the 14th floor of a building and you keep having these unbelievable visions of crocodiles coming into the lift and eating you, then you have a phobia. So we tend to we talk about phobia all the time. It's like anything you're scared of. That's not what it is. It's something you have an irrational fear of. That's important to know.
Yeah. No, 100%.
So, you know, just talking about art and the crazy things that are out there, yesterday on Twitter, I saw a tweet, a thread about an art installation, which was in Venice. I'm not sure if it was at the Venice Biennale, but it was the most fascinating thing. And it's called Can't Help Myself.
Oh, yeah?
In 2016. Gareth, you were talking about the hydraulic presses. And this installation was, you know, like a hydraulic arm of some sort, mechanical arm,
right,
with fluid leaking out of it. So the hydraulic fluid leaking out of it, and the robot arm is programmed to get the fluid back inside, because it needs the fluid back inside of itself to keep working. But it was also programmed, speaking about dancing TikToks, it was also programmed to dance when it sees people standing around the installation. So, you know, when it started out, obviously danced a lot, the fluid wasn't leaking out of it as much, and there were a lot of people like coming and watching, but the fluid also just kept getting more and more, and so at a point it couldn't keep up with like getting the fluid back in itself and dancing for the people that are walking around, and kind of was slowly dying over a period of time. Really cool. There's a YouTube video.
Look at you bringing cultural awareness to the show here. Bulelo keeps calling himself the cultural commentator, but there's trust Pumi to bring some real culture to us this morning and be telling us about the Viennese Biennale and all that sort of stuff. Nice. Sorry, not Viennese.
So cool.
Venetian Biennale.
really cool. But it was such a, and the guy that wrote the thread about it, I was just like, why are you doing this? Because, so the thing is called Can't Help Myself, but it's also a commentary, right? It's a commentary on how hard you have to just keep working to exist. But also you're expected to have a little bit of fun and stop and, you know, smell the roses.
So the machine collecting the hydraulic fluid and putting it back in is the work that we all do, this meaningless hamster wheel stuff. And then the dancing is the fun part. Yeah, I mean, we did have an ASMR. Remember when we had that that girl on, that famous TikToker here in South Africa whose name escapes me for the moment? She was very sweet, and I mean, I enjoyed having her on. A lot of people were very pissed off that we gave her the time of day, but I thought she was interesting because there is this subculture of stuff that goes on. You know, the internet is phenomenal, and what I love about it is just how wacky people are allowed to be on there. The only stuff I don't like about the internet is when people try to shut each other down and they shout over each other and there's anger and there's nastiness. And, you know, that stuff drives me crazy. But by and large, the better part of it far outweighs the bad. And I say this as someone who is consciously going into this year limiting social media intake just because I know it's not really something that I need. It's not something I need more of. But there are these pockets of places, and I don't go on Reddit. Because I don't even have the Reddit app on my phone, but I believe like there are incredible subreddits of just like the most insanely niched interests. People who are into magnets, for example. And if you love magnets, then there are whole subreddits that are just pages and pages and thousands of people all over the world who've come together. You know, in the past, to meet someone else who was into ASMR, for example, like that YouTube girl we were talking to, you would have had to walk from village to village for maybe 10 years to find one other person who, and you'd have to be brave enough to like broach the subject, like, do you like ASMR? And then someone would say, what is that? And, you know, in that village, you'd have to run for your life because the elders would decide to burn you because you were like some kind of freak. Now you can find fellow ASMR fans and, you know, trypophobic people and things like this in some pocket on the internet. And it just blows my mind what's going on over there. It's great.
Wonderful.
It is. Fantastic. It's very good. All right. So we've got to get into some headlines this morning. I hate to restore us to a world of, like, some sense, but there are a few things going on in the news that we need to know about. I just want to refer to an article from the Mail Online, which Pumi actually wants to talk about this morning as our most important headline. From Hollywood movies to romantic novels and the workplace, women have long been seen as the emotional beings and not men. This is meant having to battle perceptions about being an emotional person on a roller coaster and prone to mood swings and tears, often with the dismissal that it's because it's that time of the month. But a study shows, in reality, women have no more emotional ups and downs than men. Researchers followed 142 men and women over 2 months and got them to complete a daily questionnaire. They rated their levels of positive emotion, like excitement and determination, and negative emotion, including being upset or irritable. Across the 75 days, men's emotion varied just as much as women's, and their positive feelings may even have varied more. To see if women's hormones affected their mood swings, the study compared those on birth control pills, known to reduce hormonal fluctuations, with those who were not taking and again found no major differences. University of Michigan's Adrian Beltz, a senior author of the study, which is published in the Journal of Scientific Reports, said, "There is evidence that many factors beyond hormones can affect people's emotions, including a lack of sleep, interactions with others, winter weather, their team losing at sports, or having watched a sad film. A man whose emotions fluctuate during a sporting event is described as passionate, but a woman is considered irrational. Everyone's emotions go up and down." Your comments, Pums.
Isn't that cool? Mm. Isn't that cool? Like, that is almost universally women in workplaces. These are one of the things that kind of drop the glass ceiling for a lot of them. It's kind of like, oh, Can she handle the stress? Can she? And when I read that article, I was just like, wow, this blows all of those little stereotypes. Also, I wonder if this then means all those guys who live with girlfriends that say they've got PMS. that have mood swings because of PMS suddenly have to stop being like bitches at that time of the month.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you're going to put yourself in the category of being, I'm super emotional, then you must take whatever comes at you, right? Which is just a stupid way to start because you're giving other people an excuse to dismiss you. That's,
I think it's a get out of jail free card for a lot of women who kind of like, you know, it gives them like a little bit of reprieve from their irritating partner.
But
they have something to blame.
I do think men and women are different though, and we know that we respond differently to things, whether it's positive, negative, whether it's the kind of thing that motivates us or puts us off. And by and large, it is true to say that women are more interested in people and men are more interested in things, by and large. That's a generalization, but it's mostly true. And we mustn't use the exceptions to that rule to mess with the actual rule. Because I think it's true. Like, if you give a mechanical thing to a man, he tends to be far more fascinated by it. If you give a human relationship situation to a woman, she tends to be far more fascinated with that than men are, just generally.
But I also think that we're raised like that, so we're kind of reared from very small into those pigeonholes, right? And what this article is also about, it's about the fact that all of us, on the base level, on the human level, have the same stuff. And it's the raising. It's kind of like when you walk into Woolworths or whatever, into the girls' section, it'll hurt your eyes. It's so pink and sparkly.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that's right.
Why? And what that does is it already from the jump, you know? So you walk in there with the two-year-old girl, that's what they think it is.
Yeah.
So is it any surprise then that when you have a seven-year-old girl, all they want are the unicorns?
Well, you know, there are a whole bunch of toy stores. I don't know if it's Toys R Us or it's one of the others in America that are now doing whole sections of their toy shop with gender non-specific toys. So, you know, they've got a row of toys where they don't say boys or girls. Because if you go into most toy shops, and I haven't been into one for years because I don't have kids, but I have occasionally gone in to buy presents for my nephews, for example. They do have boys and girls sections. And it's amazing to me, maybe Pumi, you make a point that that's how we're raised, but usually left to their own devices, if children are set free in such a store where there's the gender non-specific section, there's a boys section, the girls section, normally the girls are going to gravitate towards the girls type toys. That's, you know, hundreds of years of experience here. You can't pretend that isn't happening just because we want to be woke, for want of a better term, about the differences between men and women. There are just differences. Like, guys are going to find the guns and the swords. The girls are much, much less likely, by a huge proportion, to go for the guns and the swords.
And all I'm saying about that is, remember that children, when they're born and when they like come into our homes, have no benchmarks of anything. And all they have is the people around them to watch and emulate. So it is the people around them that they want to emulate.
Yeah,
so if what you see, hold on, if what we, all we ever put, and there's a bunch of videos which I loved over December that I saw of a whole lot of little boys with those kitchen sets. You know, those kitchen sets where you're like cooking and you're putting stuff and in ovens. Whole lot of boys doing all of that. And all I'm saying is, and it's fascinating for me that in our homes, in our houses, you expect the mothers and the women are in the kitchen cooking. But in the culinary world, who are all the
chefs? Are men, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and
But now, because we finally got a society where we can test this, we've got enough kids who were raised by like two men, for example, or two women. It turns out that those kids, despite very different influences, still tend to like boys' things if they're boys and girls' things if they're girls. You could say it's society at large, but you can't deprogram thousands of years of human experience, which is in the genes and in the genetic memory. I don't think you could deprogram that. And if it is just programming, I think part of it is biology. Like, I do think part of it is biology. Like, girls can sit and talk. And I'm saying this very generally. And, you know, Venetia says, for example, yeah, her daughter likes the boys' toys. But that doesn't prove a damn thing. That's the exception to the rule very often. Girls will sit and talk about their relationships. I'm talking about adult women now, not little girls. For hours. And, like, they will not get bored. In fact, they will be so stimulated talking about this shit. Boys will talk about cars. And there always is going to be the one girl who wants to talk about cars or the one boy who wants to talk about relationships. But please believe me, it's the exception, not the rule. Like, there are certain differences.
And also, I would want women to be more emotional, whether it's true or not. Now, I don't know if I've bored you with this, but so in biochemistry, this was a very interesting thing that I found out, is we are very different at the sciences, and, you know, the social sciences try and make us the same. We're actually incredibly different at the chemical level. But what's really interesting to me is that women have this, they can do this one trick, which is incredible, is they can have a baby inside of them. So that is, I would want that person to be able to go either way on the emotional spectrum. You know what I mean? I do want women to be more emotional.
Yes.
Because that trick you can produce where you, that whole harbor life thing, yeah, that's a big part of us surviving. I would like you to be more emotional.
And as Graham says, women are emotional so they can raise kids, because you have to be far more sensitive to figure out what the kid actually wants. Most men, again, there are going to be exceptions, and please don't throw these at me because they're not examples of a rule. Most men don't know what their own wife or girlfriend wants when they're talking to them. And that's partly the women's fault as well, because they don't tell you what they want. But give them a kid, and most men are like, well, I can't tell if it's hungry or angry or scratchy or warm or cold or wants to shit. We can't tell that stuff, by and large.
I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell for a very long time, but that whole person came out of me, Mulelo. So that whole person that you're talking about is part of the reason why there's so many women who have postnatal depression, right?
Yeah.
Is like, this doesn't come with a program. It doesn't pre-program you. That whole thing came out of me, and for a good like year, I couldn't figure it out. It was actual hell.
I went away for the New Year weekend, and there were a bunch of guys and a bunch of girls. And on the morning of New Year's Eve, we went to the shooting range with more guns than people, and we fired off, I don't know, thousands of rounds of ammo. The girls were not even interested, even when I went out of my way to say to them, here, I've loaded the smallest, least recoil weapon I could find with a couple of small little rounds. Just come and shoot one or two. Not interested. The guys, it was like Christmas. You've never seen people so excited, including me. It's like, wow, guns, bang, loud, shoot, aim, target, hit the target. It's like the most exhilarating thing we did all weekend. Girls, they couldn't have been less interested. And I know that that's a generalization, but it is also generalization because it's true. It's like most stereotypes because they're true.
But I don't want to fall into a trap, because the what's interesting is, I don't know enough, is a postnatal depression, right, is an exogenous. So I don't know if we've bored people with this before, but in genetics, they speak of exogenous and endogenous traits. So an exogenous trait means when the environment changes, it can change your behavior. So, like, circadian rhythm is endogenous. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, these chakra people can tell you whatever they want, is that that's an endogenous trait that is our circadian rhythm, our evolution around the sun rising and setting will not change, which is why this nonsense largely of these morning and night people is nonsense. We are evolved around the sun. That's called endogenous. Now, I don't know, as we become more, I care about myself deeper than just reproducing and living, whether postnatal is now an exogenous thing as we become more conscious and able to express ourselves and philosophize and not be scared of a wolverine. Now, I don't know how new that is as something that's real, or is it an actual endogenous thing where 3,000 years ago women would have had that, or let's say, maybe 25,000 years ago as we evolved? Did they have that within them then and they just weren't able to express it? Or we're just able to express it now because we've got the time to think about what is a woman's role in society? Yeah. How do I feel? Which is a very new way of thinking.
It's a combination of both. It's a combination of both.
Because is that what the evidence says?
Yeah, that's what the evidence says. Because what you also had all those many years ago is you had a system of a community around you. So you weren't always just left but to your own devices with a brand new human that doesn't speak or do much really. You know, so they were all of that. So the people around you who had the experience, all of the various people. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of both. It's a combination of the way that we've evolved and the way that our society has evolved has also created an environment that makes that aspect a little bit more prominent and a little bit more prevalent. But it is also a hormonal kind of.
You know where I think we'll discover the truth on this is when you don't ask people their opinions, because people have a lopsided view of what they are like, and they also try to project a kind of personality and behavior that is not necessarily an honest reflection of how the world would see them objectively, or even how they are objectively experienced from the inside, because the person you are now is not the person you were 3 days ago or that you will be in a month's time. So you actually don't know. Who is you, you know, the idea of the self? We're getting very deep here and philosophical. But the fact is,
it's not even 7 o'clock in the morning.
No, but if you went through someone's search results, okay, if you went through the channels they subscribe to on YouTube or the stuff they follow on Instagram, that would tell you a whole lot more about whether there is a gender predisposition to certain kinds of content. And so we're back to art and we're back to ASMR and we're back to trypophobia and all of the stuff we discussed in the first half hour, because that stuff does not lie. No one's looking shit up they don't care about, right?
And that is exactly the thing that I love so much about reading about that research, right? Is the fact that what they did was they took away all of the stuff, you know, so they took away, and this is what's so amazing about research, whatever kind of research.
I disagree.
Right? So
that article asked people to explain their experience, and people are so shit at being honest about that, and they're so shit at being realistic about what their own behavior reflects about them, because they're obsessed. We're all a little bit obsessed with ourselves. Don't ask people about themselves. Use the objective data if you want the real truth. I say go to those people's search history, track their heart rate, behavior they can't control, that they're not necessarily consciously aware of, and you'll get the truth. Ask them, different story. They're going to bullshit you because people don't know how to be honest about themselves, no matter how authentic they think they really are. I'm telling you, bad way to figure it out is to ask people to fill in a questionnaire. Not a good way. They don't tell the truth. They never – guys and girls will not – if you put a heart rate monitor on them and you actually – you objectively, you film them, you'll get a much better – they don't know what they're doing, Pumi. I disregard that kind of study. I think it's bullshit. I think that article is set out in order to try and make us seem like we're exactly the same and men and women have the same emotional ups and downs. We don't. I mean, guys get upset. Guys get upset about the outcome of a sports game, sure. And women look at that and go, what kind of stupid nonsense? They're completely dispassionate about it. Why would you be upset that that Man United won or lost? Why would that bother you? They don't get that at all. But men also see, like women, when you say to them, what's wrong? And then they go, oh, no, nothing. And men are like, I really don't understand that. And another woman will go, oh, you've done something wrong. You've done something wrong.
That is exactly the point. The point is not about what it is that makes you emotional. It is about the fact that the emotions are there, regardless of what it is, on both sides of the spectrum. That the one is not more emotional than the other. That's the study.
I do agree with that.
The one is not more emotional than the other.
But I'm invalidating. That's what it's about. I'm invalidating it on the basis that people are not honest about experience. Sorry.
It's an interesting thing that you were saying, is most of us don't know who we are. So Hegel says there are two selves. There is there is the knowing self and there is the unknowing self, right? And there is the things that, you know, when you go, you can lie to people, I'm this and this. But there are those thoughts that you have when it's just you and your pillow.
Yep.
Essentially, is that's the knowing self. And then when you're out there presenting yourself as confident and whatever, but your marriage is falling apart.
Yep.
You know, there is the performative thing as well. And there's also the unknowing self of the things you are portraying constantly, trying to pull on, please love me. You know, you don't know you're doing that all the time, but you're doing it. So it's a very interesting one. And we must remember there's a lot of conditioning happening all the time. To Pumi's point, I think this article is trying to take us to some sort of evolved 21st century thing, which I don't know if it exists, but it's that there is a lot of conditioning from media, right? When we're born, and we know this now from studies, you are who you are by the age of 6, by the way. Like a lot of people think, people change. People don't change. By 6, you are who you are. That is not going to change. That core person is not going to change. There's nothing you can do about it.
But you agree. My point stands that we don't know how to describe ourselves accurately. You have an idea 100%. Of who you are, and you try to tell people to reinforce that idea so that you can define your personality. Just like, again, we started this morning's discussion with the Chinese horoscope. People like these neat little categories, and they like to say, I'm more of an extrovert. There isn't a single person I've ever met who's completely extroverted, and there isn't a single person I've ever met who's completely introverted. There's a scale, and someone, you know, on a Thursday, you may be very extroverted. You might want to be around a lot of people. You might have loads of energy and emotion and, you know, and you get satisfaction from social interaction and all that kind of thing. The next day...
Also because we've been conditioned by hearing you for years and years talk about Pooza Thursday.
Thank you. But then the Friday morning you might wake up and you want nothing to do with anybody. And you're...
called a hangover.
And, well, it could be, but I'm also just trying to be a little more a little more wide-ranging in this. You might just want to be with a book. I mean, I know people who spent the entire holiday lying outside in the sun reading a book with no other
humans. Where did they find the sun?
Well, I mean, maybe on those days, those few days that it was sunny. But you get my point. And
I do.
You think, well, I'm a man, I must be X, Y, and Z. And this is where those woke people may have a point, is that a lot of the stuff is socially engineered for us before we even come into it, right? And we then try to fit neatly into a category. And maybe you don't fit into a category. But by and large, there are these generalities that are either biological or evolutionary, and deny them as you will. Try as you might, from a top-down view, to try and change society, to make it much more accessible to those people who are caught somewhere in the middle of maybe the two genders or the emotional versus the rational or whatever. The fact is, you can't engineer the way that people feel about themselves, no matter what you put in the way. And I don't believe humans are the best source of information about themselves. We would need aliens to observe us objectively from a distance with no dog in the fight and to be able to gather empirical information, not opinion information, from people. And it would be very hard to do that. But only then could we say, Gareth is X, Y, and Z. Bulelo is X, Y, and Z. Pumi is Z, Y, and G, or whatever. That's the only way we'd figure it out. That's why I like those tests where you don't really know what's going on in the test. They ask you to choose a word or whatever. That probably tells you more than if you ask a person to describe themselves in a paragraph, because that paragraph is going to be bullshit. Was it you who said to me the other day in Bulelo, an interview, a job interview, is two people lying to each other?
1,000%.
Right. I think it was you. It was either you or Yaku from Catalytic.
It's probably Yaku, but 1,000%.
And the same goes on a date. A date is two people lying to each other. If they like each other, they're lying in a positive sense. If they don't like each other, they're probably lying in a negative sense. Very seldom are people able to be honest about themselves. And therefore, all of the studies where you're asking people to keep a list of experiences, to explain experiences, to record experience, fucking throw them away and burn them. They tell us nothing.
So to wrap it up, Pumi, I think I've got a question for you on the article, right? So the reason why I'm very suspicious of asking people is that all of us, to Gareth's point, will always, because of the conditioning largely, or a mixture of conditioning and drivers, is that we will always paint ourselves in a romantic ideal as opposed to the idiosyncratic nature of ourselves. Because that's quite ugly, because I'm a good person and I'm a bad person. Mm. I'm angry and I'm happy.
Right.
But I'm just going to tell you, you know, it's easier if I just say, fine.
You want to prove happy. That? You want to prove that? Just ask someone, why are you arguing when someone's having a passionate conversation about something? If it's a girl, it might be about something very different to a boy generally. But ask them that, and they're like, I'm not angry. Nobody ever goes, yes, I'm fucking angry. Because when they do, you're like, whoa, okay, some honesty for a change. You know what I mean?
I do all the time. But I think, Mulalo, to your point, you know, that is what we try and portray of ourselves all the time. So when you go out into the world, that romantic view that you have in your head of who you are and how you are, that's also what you try to project, because that's what you believe to be your best self. Mm. So one of the things about that is kind of like it's what you want people to think of you and what you want people to feel, which again, in the workplace, right, where people are going, women are so emotional, but you're actually out here projecting your best self and in the way that you would want other people to see you and reflect on you. Does that answer what you didn't finish asking, because you just made a big general statement? Mulalo?
Who, me?
Yes, you never finished the question. You just started with, because we go out there and we're like positioning ourselves like this. And it's in our heads.
No, but my point about the article is fair enough. Let's be open to the fact that people are emotional, but let's not immediately make sort of the jump and leap to say we are all equally emotional, because the science, and maybe I read it wrong when I was doing biochem, doesn't suggest that. And I think that's a good thing, but I don't know that because I'm only 2 years through biochemistry.
I'd also like us to spare a thought for those people who are not good at projecting the best version of themselves. And that does not make them that does not make them authentic or sincere or honest. Sometimes they're just really, really shitty at social interaction and they have no ability. They might be autistic, they might be completely removed from reality, they might be a grumpy old fuck. There are a lot of people, they're not being authentic. They just really shit at actually putting the best foot forward. There are those people. They stumble and fall when given any opportunity to show off the best version of themselves. And then they complain that the system is unfair to them. Like some people are just bad at doing their own personal PR. They're just bad at interaction.
All I really wanted you guys to know at the beginning of this morning is that I'm an earth ram in a tiger year.
What does that mean? Does it mean you're going to have a good year?
Maybe.
And, well, how do you feel about that? Sorry, I'm supposed to lean into the stereotype. Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Oh, my God.
I'm not angry.
Oh, well.
And I'm not any more emotional than any of you about it.
Well, you know. Jeez, let it go then. That's the fight. Generally, that's where it goes. You never let things go. This is your problem. Oh. Then you know.
Well, we've spent so much time on this probably unnecessary subject. But, I mean, that's, you know, sometimes we hit the right nerves. I mean, there's been a lot of comments about this stuff, people agreeing and disagreeing on both sides of this, people saying that this emotional, rational scale is an interesting one. I see it as kind of, that's the exciting thing about being human. Some days you're more introverted, some days you're more extroverted, some days you're more emotional, some days you're more rational. There's no person who lives on only one side of that spectrum all the time.
Thank God.
And hug your son, damn it. Hug your son. We'll see. Maybe
he's
they'll like
boarding them. School.
No. Oh, not your son in general. I'm talking to people in general. They must hug their sons.
Yeah, when did he start yesterday, Pums?
Yeah, I dropped him off on Tuesday.
Oh,
oh boy. So he's out there all alone. The wolves are going to get him now. Oh.
He's out there in the world. And Mulalo, you'll be pleased to know that he phoned me on Tuesday night to say, good night, Mom. I just wanted to let you know that it's It's going well, and I'm oh, happy. Man.
Oh, that's,
he's
that's,
a better son than I was.
That's amazing. I like that. That's a, I'm glad you threw that in there. That's beautiful.
Fantastic.
He's a good kid. Fantastic. I hope he's going to love it. I really do. You know, some people are just meant for an environment where, like Bulelo, the way he talks about it, he was obviously traumatized by boarding school. But
No. I loved it. No. It was built for people like me.
You seem to bitch and moan rather a lot about it. That's just my opinion.
Well, I didn't get bullied.
Look at the rant it sent us back. Look at the rant it sent us back.
I hope it goes well for him, Pums. And for everybody who started school this year or has gone to a new grade or, you know, you may be starting some new project this year if you're in the working world, some new course at university, maybe you've changed careers completely. If this is the time of year when you're doing all of that, good luck. And remember, the scarier it is, the more intimidating and terrifying it is, the less you think you know about that stuff, the more exciting it could turn out to be. Not always, but mostly. I want to do some different stuff this year. I know that for sure. I haven't yet decided what different stuff. I've got a couple of ideas floating around, but this is going to be a year of doing different things. So stand by. Let's all have a nice, exciting adventure. On the way, the Burning Platform, which is this morning, as always, going to be full of all kinds of interesting opinions. And we have two fiery people joining Pumi and I on the Burning Platform. Stick around for that and a whole lot more in the next hour. This is CliffCentral.com. Good Thursday morning.
CliffCentral.com.